1 Peter 1:1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come to you so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we ask today that you would blow our minds and move us in worship of you, our great Heavenly Father. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm just a street child. Grubby knees, grubby deeds, nothing to offer. I don't expect much. I'm just a street child, one among many. Another begging mouth. I don't expect much. I'm just a street child. Here comes the king now, striding towards us, but I don't expect much. I'm just a street child. The stride stops, our eyes lock. Come home with me, he says. I didn't expect this much. I'm now a prince child, the king's pride and joy. He loves me, he hugs me, I've been given so much. I'm now a prince child, I bear the family name, adopted by the king, I've been given so much. I'm now a prince child, swapped rags for riches, pavement for palaces, I've been given so much. I was just a street child, but now I'm a prince child. I love my loving father because he chose me. If you were that street child, how would you feel? How would you feel? And the reason I start with that question is because today we're going to look at this idea of election. What does it mean to be God's elect? And this is the kind of topic that can twist us up and leave us with all sorts of doubts and questions and worries. But it's not supposed to. It's not supposed to be this theological barrier for us to stumble over or to disagree on. Rather, this fact that we are chosen by God is supposed to bring us great comfort and joy. Just like it did for that street child. I hope we will see that Peter's purpose in calling Christians God's elect is not to cause us to doubt, but delight. Not to worry, but to worship. And I hope we can capture something of the humbling beauty of God's gracious calling. So let's dive in. It's there in verse 1. Which is summarized by this sheet of paper we've been using over the past few weeks. This is a letter written by Peter, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's writing to Christians, those who believe in Jesus Christ. And there in verse 1, he calls them God's elect. Now, very simply, that means to be chosen. to be picked out from among others who are not chosen. A bit like when you buy bananas at the supermarket. There's a shelf full of bananas, but you don't pick them all. Instead, you choose some out of the many. You choose a bunch, you elect a bunch to go into your trolley. You choose these ones to be your very own. Christians are those whom God has chosen. The bananas did not pick you, you picked the bananas. And so if you are one of God's people, it is not because you picked God, but because God picked you. It's the same word used in chapter 2 about Christ. Flick over and have a look at verse 4, and you'll see that Christ there is described as the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. Our Lord Jesus was picked out to be the precious cornerstone, the one on whom the whole house is built, the one in whom we can trust and never be put to shame. Jesus was specially selected, the only one who could do what he did. God's people are those who have been handpicked by God. What a humbling privilege. We see this in the Old Testament. God's people then were the nation of Israel. And Moses says to them in Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, "The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." God could have picked any of the bananas on the shelf, but he chose the Jews. And now the same can be said of the New Testament people of God, Christians, those who have been joined with Christ by faith in Christ. You are God's elect. And just like there were for Israel, there are so many privileges that flow from being one of God's chosen people. And we get a flavour for some of those things in this letter. First, God's chosen people are his special possession. We get that in chapter 2. We've seen Christ in verse 4 is described as this living stone, chosen and precious to God. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame, but not everyone does trust in him. Christ divides the crowd. Some don't believe. This same cornerstone causes them to stumble. But, verse 9, Peter says, you are a chosen people. Not everyone believes, but you do. Verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. There's lots in that verse, which we'll come back to at a later date. But just to focus on one, God's people are his special possession. He said that to Israel in Deuteronomy 7, my treasured possession. And now he says it to Christians. What's your most precious possession? Perhaps it's something very valuable or particularly meaningful. If something is precious to you, that means you are emotionally invested in it. You are connected to it. You care about it. You look after it. You feel affectionate towards it. You're protective of it. Sometimes you just look at it and enjoy it. It's your special possession. That's how God feels about us. Or to put it in more personal terms, our little daughter, Safi, she's at that lovely stage of baby now where you kind of just feel like your love is almost too much and you just want to squidge her because she's so cute and so lovable. And it's not rare in our house at the moment to hear someone, including the boys, going up to Safi and saying, my lovely girl, oh, my lovely girl, my precious baby. That is something like what God feels about us. My precious baby. We are his special possession. just like that street child who was grubby, hungry, and unloved. But the king chose him, poured out his unconditional love on him, showed him off to everyone who would listen. He was his pride and joy. The street child has become the king's special possession. God's chosen people also have the privilege of being those who, secondly, bear his name. Just like the street child had the privilege of being a prince, by adoption into the family, he took on the royal name, which no doubt opened a lot of doors to him. When we enter God's family, we bear his name. Again, we see this in the Old Testament. When the prophet Daniel is praying for the people, he says, "Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." God has chosen to bind himself to his people, to mark them out with his signature. What an awesome privilege. And it's true for us too. Let me take you to chapter 4. Peter is talking about suffering for being a Christian. And he says in chapter 4, verse 14, "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, listen, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." You see, even when we are suffering for it, this is a privilege that we can praise God for, that we bear the family name. What an honor to be called Christians, Christians, Christ people. And even though that name was originally designed as an insult and a slur, actually, what a privilege it is to be known as Jesus people, that he is unashamed to have his name associated with me. God's chosen people have the privilege of bearing his name, and they also share in his eternal glory. They share in his eternal glory. When that street child became a prince child, he got to benefit from all of the great food, the grand houses, the luxury holidays. All the blessings of the kingdom were his to enjoy. Check out what chapter 5 says about what we are called to. To those who have been chosen, those who have been called, they have been called to something. Chapter 5, verse 10. "The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ." His eternal glory in Christ. A glory that alone comes from him and alone belongs to him. A glory beyond description or imagination. A glory which will be fully seen and enjoyed when Jesus Christ is revealed. It is his eternal glory. And yet he has picked us. He has chosen us. He has elected us to share in it, to enjoy it. Because God chose me, I will spend forever basking in his glory. As God's chosen people, we will spend eternity seeing God as he really is, face to face with Jesus, and there will be no deeper joy. We will see him in all of his wisdom, all of his justice, all of his love, all of his grace, all of his godness. We will bow down to the Lamb who was slain on the cross in the place of sinners and rose from the grave so that we might be forgiven and adopted into the family. And if you're one of God's people today, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, it's like you've got a letter through the post saying, "Congratulations, you have been chosen to experience and to receive and to enjoy all of this." Except when you get a letter like that, often it's too good to be true and it could well be a scam. But this is the wonderful reality, the sure promise for all of God's chosen people. There is no greater privilege. this word, elect, it completes the picture of what we saw last week. Yes, we are scattered exiles, but that's kind of balanced by this part. We are scattered exiles, but we are elect exiles. It might be true, and it is true, that we are hashtag not at home in this world. But on the other hand, we have been chosen by the King of the universe to be his very own and to be at home in his heavenly kingdom. And Peter wants his readers to know that this whole identity, elect, scattered exiles, all of this, verse 2, is according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's in verse 2. Now, the way that verse 2 is translated makes it sound like only the chosen bit is according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Excuse me. But the way that it's actually set out in the original language refers to all of this stuff. The fact that they are elect exiles who are scattered, all of that is according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now, God's foreknowledge is more than just knowing something in advance or, you know, seeing what is about to happen. You see, in the Bible, this idea of knowing is not just information in your head. It's actually more about relationship. We see that in the way that it's often used to describe sex. Adam knew Eve and she conceived. And of course, that doesn't happen simply by knowing information about your wife. So knowing is not just information and facts. It's about intimate relationship. God's foreknowledge is not the stuff that he is aware of. After all, he knows all things and all people. So when the Bible says God knows you, it's talking about the fact that God has turned his attention on you in a special, intimate way. It's the same word used in chapter 1, verse 20, about Christ, the precious Lamb without blemish or defect. Look at verse 20. He was chosen. That's actually the same word. He was foreknown before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. And that doesn't mean that God the Father, he just knew what God the Son was going to do before he did it. No, this is talking about the fact that God the Father in eternity lovingly ordained that Christ would be revealed in time as the Lamb without blemish and defect. In the same way, God, in eternity, has affectionately ordained for us to be his elect, scattered exiles. This is all according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Before the foundation of the world, God lovingly chose for us to be what we are today. Which shows that his choosing is all grace. Undeserved, unearned. This is not like picking teams on the playground. He did not pick us because we first picked him. He did not pick us because of anything that we had done for him or could do for his team. Before we were even born, in eternity, we were called according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Just like Israel, that Deuteronomy passage that we read earlier, it continues like this. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you. Just like that street child who had nothing to offer except grubby knees and grubby deeds. He was chosen by grace, and so for us, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, we were loved before the dawn of time. Can you see what a privilege it is to be one of God's chosen people? Absolutely sure that whatever the circumstances we find ourselves in, even as scattered exiles under pressure, all of that is according to the loving foreknowledge, the purposeful plan of our Heavenly Father. What a comfort that is. No wonder Peter soon moves on to verse 3, where he kind of explodes in worship and says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's exactly where this wonderful truth is supposed to lead us. God chooses his people. And yes, that raises some questions like, what about those he doesn't choose? Is this really fair? How does this fit with the parallel Bible truth that we are responsible for how we respond to Jesus? And by the way, if you're not a Christian and you're sat there thinking, well, what if I'm not one of his chosen people? The message of the whole Bible is that you can be. Simply ask Jesus to be your Saviour and your Lord, and you will be one of his chosen people. We are responsible for how we respond to Jesus. How does that fit in with the fact that God's people are chosen before the dawn of time? That's one of the questions that we need to think about. And please do get in touch if you want to wrestle with some of these things a bit more. But whenever we come across a tension that is hard for us to resolve, the attitude of faith leans not towards doubt or accusation, but towards worship. In the words of Awesome Cutlery, who are a group who do kids songs. The link for this song will be in the description and information below. This is how this song goes. When we meet God, we also find mysteries. He is infinite and I'm just a limited me. Such deep thinking about the God we know shows he's not just more than us, he's in a league of his own. Our God is higher than the heights above. His ways are not our own. Praise the one who blows our minds. Trust in him alone. That's how we should respond. Praise the one who blows our minds. Trust in him alone. Our main question should not be, how can it be that God would choose some and not others, but rather, how can it be that God would choose me? Like that adopted street child, you might not fully understand why you were chosen and others weren't. But the main thing in your mind, the dominant thought in your head, is the scarcely believable delight that you were chosen, that he would pick any of you. That is Peter's goal. Not worry, but worship. Not doubt, but delight. The fact that we are God's chosen people should not throw us into a theological spin or make us smug as we look down at others, but move us to praise God for his grace and worship him for the immense privilege of being God's elect. I'm now a prince child. The king's pride and joy. He loves me. He hugs me. I've been given so much. I'm now a prince child. I bear the family name. Adopted by the king, I've been given so much. I'm now a prince child. Swapped rags for riches, pavements for palaces. I've been given so much. I was just a street child. But now I'm a prince child. I love my loving Father because he chose me.